If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, how are you?
Well, I'll ask you how you're doing because we're recording this Friday, September 27th, and your mayor has been indicted. How are you feeling?
It is. I mean, it's the most fun I've had on Twitter since Trump got COVID. It's so funny to see, like, all New Yorkers be like, good. Like, we don't. I know that, like, we both LA and New York are notoriously pretty bad at mayors. New York, I think, like, a little worse in general, just because there's more to fuck up here from just different services that the city relies on. Here's the thing is, like, I hate Eric Adams. He's been a terrible mayor the whole time. Like, we could have had Maya Wiley. I don't get how we ended up with him. Mm-hmm. Maybe Staten Island shouldn't vote anymore. These guys are weird, Tim Walz, like, Republican, like, calling them weird started, Eric Adams is weird, but he's not weird in the way that, like, Republicans are weird because they're obsessed with people's genitals and they love guns and hate books and, like, all, it's like that, and that is weird. I mean, it's, like, wildly dangerous, but it's weird. Yeah. Eric Adams is a different, he's, like, a regular old weird guy.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, it was a delight to see people, like, joking all over Twitter, but also people resurfacing all of the crazy things he's said and done over the last few years. The tour he did of his son's bedroom of, like, how to find drugs in your kid's room. And he's like, you know, look in their popular knapsack in all of the locations. And you're like, I don't even know what that sentence means. That's a crazy thing to say.
My favorite part about it was when he brought out his rat bucket that he was excited about all the rats drowning in.
Yes.
And it's like, look, I understand it's a huge problem. I'm sure it causes all sorts of issues.
Yes.
So we have to kill the rats. I understand that. I've accepted that in my heart. But to bring the bucket around, he was taking that around like it was like Kate Spade. He was literally so excited showing off the dead rats.
Yes.
And it was just such an unusual play as a politician.
Yes.
And then I think much like the Onion famous headline, Bill de Blasio says, not so easy to find a mayor who doesn't suck shit,
is it?
Yeah. And I think that there is an element of that at play where, at least for most mayors, if you're not a complete maniac, we're all kind of like, all right, I guess that's the best we could do. But I guess I just didn't understand, like, how many people were accepting, graft and bribes and stuff. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. They're politicians in New York.
Yeah, it's like, it's always been corrupt. And, like, I hate Eric Adams. I think he's a real, like, piece of shit and he's been a bad mayor. But, like, I think most of our mayors have been outrageously corrupt. He is our first black mayor, and I
oh, that's absolutely why.
And
he's
I won't
the first
say
one
that
to go
that's
down.
Not a piece of why the indictment 100%. Actually happened versus, like, what all of these other idiots were up to. But they were, like, older white guys, and I think there was just always, like, a level of protection
100%.
That they had. But Eric Adams still is a terrible mayor and should be indicted. Just those guys should also have been indicted.
I know, that's what's so hard. I feel the same way about Mark Robinson. It's like, Mark Robinson is just in trouble for saying the stuff he does because he's black. All of these other white guys are saying
just as crazy.
What congressman, let me look up his name, but there was a Republican congressman who literally tweeted, like, the most vile racist thing about Haitians, and then he had to take it down, and Clay Higgins, fuck that guy. That guy's going to burn in hell. And then they're asking Mike Johnson about it. He's like, well, he took it down, and we believe in redemption around here. No, you don't, bitch. You believe in white Christian supremacy. You're a piece of shit, and everyone can see what you're doing. Meanwhile, Mark Robinson, also a piece of shit. It's only going to be blowback because he's black, honestly.
Yes.
And then they bring out his wife. Do you see they made his wife?
No.
I didn't even think about, like, his wife, and I'm like, oh, my God.
I know.
Making this black woman do a video to be like, hey, you know what? Everyone's husbands are crazy. And what sucks is, like, there's a lot of women that will be like, yeah, my husband's probably doing horrible stuff online, but that's just what having a husband is. Like, it's so sad that is, like, probably an effective play of, like, well, his wife seems normal enough, and my husband hates me, and I hate him, and that's just what being a straight married couple is. Ugh. Let's vote for him. It sucks so bad. It's so embarrassing.
Bad. And it's also, like, strange because, like, if something happened to the president, I think we all know, like, one or two degrees down what happened, like, who takes over. And we know the vice president becomes the president. And we know if something happens to the vice president, it's like, what, the speaker? Yes. The speaker of the House? No.
Oh, this is, what is it? They did that show with Kiefer Sutherland where it's like you have to reserve somebody during the union.
Somebody from, like, the House Majority Leader or something like that. I don't know. But
we swear to God we will ruin a horror movie here.
We will. We'll get to it. But it is weird because with the mayor, like, as soon as it was like, yeah, he's probably going to get arrested, like, he might go to jail, it's like, so who's the mayor? Like, no one knows the order of succession.
Oh, I saw who it was. What was
his name? It'll be Jumaine Williams, and then he'll have to hold, like, within 90 days some kind of, like, election for people to be like, okay, you can still be – he'll be acting mayor and oversee an election for, like, a new mayor. Like, it seems kind of complicated but kind of not. And I'm like, this is best case scenario.
Yeah. It's a moment of celebration. It really takes Olivia Nuzzi off of the news cycle.
Yes.
Phew. Every fucking headline for like 4 days was like, she was inundating him with demure, tasteful nudes. It's like this
Keith Olbermann dated
true.
Her when she was 21. And it's like, that's not good for anybody.
Can you imagine anyone you dated when you were 21 coming out of the press? It wasn't Keith Olbermann, thank God, but like,
no.
Grim stuff.
Oof.
Anything else to do with you?
No,
privately,
nothing else.
Personally?
No, I had a really good soup.
Laying on me.
The fish market near me in Park Slope Fjord Fish Market. If you live in this part of Brooklyn, I highly suggest you go. They have like a little to-go area with like some spreads and some stuff. And they have a fisherman's stew. And it is just my ideal soup. It is a light, clear tomato broth. Like it's not like a heavy soup. It's like a light soup. And then it's just big chunks of like onions, potatoes, and like big like hunks of white fish.
Yeah.
And it's kind of spicy, and it's got a ton of herbs and black pepper. And I always do it with like a bunch of lemon or lime juice and add more herbs. But I got that. I was like, well, it's soup season, baby. And I went, and they were like, we just need it. It needs to cool down. We can't even put it in Tupperware yet. And I was like, I'm going to be back in 30 minutes. I was so hungry. Like,
shut up and give me that scalding hot soup.
It was
soup,
like a giant vat, and I was like, give me that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's new with you before we...
I'm just working. It's like, I feel like just between now and the election and my day job, we have tour next week. So I'm just working and then doing nothing. I'm playing a lot of cornhole. If you live in LA, the season's over this coming week. So it'll be over when you hear this. But if you're a they queer person of any regard, please sign up for the Fun Bags, which is the cornhole league at 4100 Bar. And we can hang out. And it's very fun, and it's, like, a nice way to meet people.
Yeah.
And no one's really good at it, so it doesn't really matter.
I think cornhole is the perfect, social activity where it's, like, what even is being good at? Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's not, like, what, are you going to go pro? Like, no. What? And it's a lot of just standing and very low lift athletically. I love that.
Yeah, it is funny because there's, like, a couple people who do take it really seriously that you could tell played sports in high school.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
That's not what this is.
We don't do that anymore. That's not for here.
No, we're at an intersection in Silver Lake. Like, this is not.
I'm eating a hot dog standing here playing a game. This is not anything.
No.
And that's all I have. I'm going to see The Substance. And it better be good.
Ooh,
I don't want to see. If this is Long Legs all over, I'm going to be fucking pissed, okay?
Yeah.
The Substance, it better be an excellent movie. I'm not taking anything less.
Yeah,
I'm
interested to hear. I've been just seeing kind of what people are saying, but not with any detail. So,
good.
We shall see.
Good. All right, great. Well, speaking of something that people at the time we're talking about, and perhaps not favorably.
Yes.
I'm going to read some of reviews that I thought were funny. And there's a reason you have never heard of this movie. That movie is 2014's The Pyramid.
Yes, we had to close out Shapes Month with something three-dimensional.
Thank God. I mean, there just weren't that many movies,
bit
frankly.
Off more than we could chew, shape-wise.
Yeah. We really did, and we're lucky to be closing it out. And this is directed by Gregory Levasseur, who is a screenwriter and producer who is best known for writing alongside, Andre Asia, who wrote, he's the High Tension guy.
Yes.
So Gregory here co-wrote High Tension, The Hills Have Eyes reboot, Piranha 3D, which I enjoyed, Maniac, which I didn't see, and it has a bunch of other great credits. This is his first directorial debut, and I don't think it's entirely his fault. Mm. I actually think that it is the screenplay's fault, which is funny because he didn't write it. I was like, baby, you're going to direct a movie, write it, I think. At least for your first one. And then it was written by Daniel Mersand and Nick Simon, no offense to them, but I just feel like given the director's writing credits, I just feel like you really could have knocked it out of the park. Yeah. But again, it's neither here nor there. And I just wanted to just read a quick review that I stumbled upon. And there's a review on The Wrap when it came out. The ultimate moral of The Pyramid and almost any other film where an underground mummy or scarab or tomb wreaks havoc is that some things were never meant to be uncovered. Some movies, too. On the playlist, they said, The Pyramid is cursed, only instead of an ancient evil, it's just plagued by inept filmmaking.
Oh, no.
And then finally, just from the Hollywood Reporter, you can see this on Wikipedia, they're linked. From the Hollywood Reporter, just called it a stinker in every sense, which is somehow the most devastating thing I've ever read about anything. A stinker. Anyways, I didn't think it was that bad. Okay. We've done worse movies.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It's not good by any stretch of the imagination, but I would call it I think there's some senses it was not a stinker, and I'm happy to defend that. And I'll do that now. Obviously, we start things off by choosing our favorite thing that is the shape of the week. Allison, what is your favorite pyramid-shaped object or item?
It was tough for me to kind of think of things that are pyramids that aren't just like, a pyramid-shaped earring or something, you know, like.
Yes.
But I will say, I think as close as I could get, once again, going back to food, I think a samosa is close to a pyramid.
Absolutely.
And I love samosas.
1,000% excellent choice.
Yes. Do you have a favorite pyramid? And I know a samosa is not actually a pyramid, and pyramids are a square base and four sides, and samosas are a three-sided, three-dimensional mound of deliciousness. Yes.
I have an actual favorite pyramid, and that is, and this is like you've probably seen while you're on the internet, and that is the pyramid-shaped Bass Pro Shop in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It is a tremendously large Bass Pro Shop that is in the shape of a tremendous pyramid.
It's huge.
Four-sided. It's a legit pyramid. It's unbelievable that it exists. It is located in downtown Memphis.
Insane.
So this is not so you, but it's so big because it has an archery range, a shooting range, a laser arcade, a Wahlburgers. And my God, I don't know if it still has all these things, but it says at some point it had a saltwater aquarium, a bowling alley.
Ooh.
That makes sense. It's sort of
huge.
A theme park.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're going to visit it. And it has a world record for world's largest pyramid-shaped commercial building. Well, I suppose.
Yep.
Suppose it would.
Yeah, I'd hope.
Yeah, it closed in 2007, but then it reopened in 2015. And it does appear to be operational in some regard now. If you live in Memphis, let us know if you ever
go there.
Or is it just sort of like a...
Yeah.
It's almost like... Did you ever have like the haunted mall? Like we had like the mall people went to.
Yeah, ours was Marley Station.
I can't remember the name. I'll have to look it up. But we had like... the Beechwood Mall was the fancy mall. The Great Lakes Mall was like the mall you could afford. You just kind of go there to walk around and get an Orange Julius. And then there was a third mall. I'll have to look up what that one. That was like half closed, but you go there because they had Lens Crafters.
Right. Yeah. There's like one useful thing there. And you're like, I guess we have to go to this mall.
Yeah. Allison, we also had to have her watch a trailer for the film that we are ruining. Allison, what are your thoughts about the Pyramid trailer?
I mean, scary. I think, like, just mm-hmm. being in a lot of dark spaces and not knowing how to get out and then discovering it gets worse and worse as you go in is a scary concept. We've done other movies like this where it's like, yeah, but, like, don't do that. Like, don't disrupt, like, what might be a tomb of a people that aren't around anymore. Like, I don't know if everybody in the archaeology team is white. It seemed that way from the clips I saw in the trailer. Maybe this isn't for you, white people. But even in general, even if it was, you know, in Northern Europe and it was white people, I'd still be like, yeah, don't bother that. I'm sure there's stuff to be learned, but, like, you're asking for this outcome.
Yes. At a certain point, much like going in a house you know to be haunted, you are taking on an assumed risk. Absolutely. And there are some Egyptian people on the dig crew, but it was led by two extremely foolish white people. Yes. So I do feel like that is underpinning a lot of this is hubris, overweighting pride, thinking that you will be able to handle what is inside a ancient pyramid that has not been opened for thousands of years. And then also the larger issue, I think, in the movie is that we're just kind of riffing on...
the mummy?
Like, Egypt has one of the most famous mythologies of all time with regards to the pyramids. I don't think we got to, like, come up with a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, that is very true.
But we'll take a look at it. Yeah. But that's fine. I mean, look, if that was the only problem with the movie, we'd be smiles on our faces. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of being... lost in a pyramid underneath the ground?
Very, but again, unless that I got there through a horrific accident, I'm never going to be in that. It's like, I forget what movie it was where they go into the catacombs and it's like, I'm just never going to do that. Like, I'm never, the threat to me of that experience is so low that unless I was like kidnapped and thrown in, like, it's just not going to be something that I will ever do.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We're going to eventually get to it. There's a movie, God, what is the name of it? Where it's like two women got trapped at the top of a spire. It's sort of the inverse of 47 meters down.
TikTok keeps serving me like clips from it. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't want to see that. So scary.
I feel like maybe it's on streaming now or something because people have been posting that fall from 2022. Yeah. And every time I see it, I'm terrified, but I have to remind myself, you would never go up there.
Right.
You're never going up there.
Never. Oh God. I like can't actually think about that movie.
Yes. Sorry. We're talking about a different scary movie and scaring ourselves, but we will definitely do fall. It's the fall. We'll have to do fall.
Oh, fall.
Perfect. And then finally, would you like, oh my God, does this constitute a twist? Yeah, all right. It's not a twist.
Okay.
No, okay. Would you like to guess the gist in the pyramid?
Guess the twist.
I'm going to guess that they get trapped down there and it is like a zombie, the mummification for like this kind of group of people whose pyramid it is actually zombified people.
Ooh,
and there are zombies running around down there trying to get out. But the rest of the population is not there anymore. That's like what, so
great.
That's who they run. I assume that's who they run into. And I guess I am going to guess they all die.
Okay. Fabulous. Love it. All right, great. Let us ruin the pyramid. We open on plumes of black smoke rising over Cairo. And there's text on the screen that says, Cairo, Egypt, August 2013. And I realized, oh my God, is this set in Arab Spring? And of course it is. This is set a month after the 2013 Egyptian coup d'etat. And I'm not even going to weigh in as an American of what I think happened.
Nope.
Other than there was a military coup. Mohamed Morsi was removed as president after... months of millions of people protesting his presidency. So, of course, in the midst of this, which, of course, I'm like, well, boy, I guess if you'd let an Egyptian person make this movie, it would have been a good movie. Because what this will cause is it is simply an inconvenience to the white, mostly white Americans
Oh, sure.
Who are there to excavate a newly discovered pyramid. So that's all that we're going to know or even care about. And I
just do it any other time.
Like, it's very strange. Or you have to acknowledge it. Like, if you're making a movie set in a country that is experiencing or is about to experience sort of like civil unrest, I just don't think anymore you can just sort of skirt it. You know, I think that would just be sort of absurd. But we see text on the screen. A team of American archaeologists discover a new pyramid deep beneath a desert. And I wrote here, well, it does sound like us, which brings to our other point, which is I think we know enough about archaeology to say, wouldn't it be nice if the Egyptians got to do their own archaeology on their own country and not be shipping in two, I'll say this for this movie, deeply incompetent Americans who don't know what they're getting into. But, of course, we see them, they're driving through, again, this is all found footage. Well, not all, but mostly. So we see them, they're in the car, they're driving through the protests, Allison.
Jesus Christ.
We are caught in the middle of a huge crowd protesting. It did, the way they're reacting did remind me of, in 30 Rock, when we flashed to L.A., to Liz Lemon when she was in L.A. for a month.
Yes, in the riots in 90.
And she's trying to ask for directions during the Rodney King riots. That's literally, they're like, oh, my God, where's our turn? Meanwhile, there are thousands of people in the streets.
It's the 10.
trying to achieve democracy. It's the 10. More text on the screen. Despite the chaos, they don't even explain what the chaos is. We've seen a crowd of people. If you don't know anything about this, you'd be like, what's the chaos? And also, to speak to this movie not being so good, you would assume it had something to do with the plot. Because you're like, okay, the chaos, surely you'll explain that. You wouldn't just show me this and say the chaos. But I don't know. I mean, it's American and also those guys French. So part of me is like, okay, I guess we're just skipping over the chaos. A documentary film crew arrived in Egypt to film one of the most significant archaeological discoveries in Egyptian history. They're in the car and they see a person who's rioting pick up a brick and throw it at the car, shattering the windshield. And I wrote here, what is archaeology even? Like, what are we doing here? But we see a helicopter, they're flying. So the dig site is far away from Cairo. So they had to land there, obviously the airport. And then we are going out to the middle of the desert to dig up this new pyramid. Text on the screen, the following details the events that occurred at the site, which again, I think is funny. Like, we're pretending that this is real.
Yeah.
The dig site is bustling. They have dozens of workers. And already, like, 20 feet of this pyramid is peeking out of the sand. Allison, very, very importantly, this is not technically a pyramid. This is a three-sided pyramidal shape. So it's three sides instead of four. And all the other pyramids of Giza have four sides. So, of course, they're thinking, great, we came here from America. We really found this thing, right? What an incredible anomaly. And, of course, the archaeology team is led by famed father-daughter team Nora and Miles Holden.
Great.
And, again, I don't want to immediately get into the acting of this film. However, I will say Miles Holden is played by Dennis O'Hare, who is, I associated him with Ryan Murphy projects. Mm-hmm. He's a character actor you would immediately recognize.
Yeah,
he's been in everything. I associated him with American Horror Story. You never watched any of those, obviously. But yeah, he's incredible, also a stage actor. And so he's sort of compelling. And then his daughter, I'm not going to get into her oeuvre, other than the thing that she seems like she's happily married to Topher Grace. And they have two beautiful children, and I wish them all the...
I really like Topher Grace.
And I think she'd be good in, say, a rom-com and not in a movie where she has to scramble around inside a pyramid for hours. Ashley Hinshaw. Again, it just didn't work for me. But we're out here and they are, you know, being documented by this Sunny Marsh, who is sort of our host, who's going to be interviewing them. And then we also have our cameraman from the documentary crew, Fitzy. And he's sort of our comedic relief. He's British. And we see Fitzy sort of stopping Sunny. He's like, well, there's a dog barking. I can't get clean audio. And they look, and there's like a feral dog sort of running around the dig site.
Sure.
And Fitzy goes, can somebody get a shotgun in here and get rid of these dogs?
Jesus Christ.
So again, we can go ahead and assume he's going to die in the pyramid because he can't be doing that too early in a horror movie. Just shoot the dogs? Okay, dude. This is the opposite of a save the cat moment in case you're a screenwriter.
Yes.
As soon as you hear that, it's like, well, this motherfucker's dead. Sunny sits down for an interview with Dr. Miles Holden. And she says, you know, she's trying to coach him. And she's like, can you incorporate the question into your answer? And he goes, oh, my name is, you know, he's sort of like trying to learn how to be in front of the camera. And Sunny says, can you explain exactly what you're looking for? Bitch, it's the pyramid. I don't know how, what else there is, like.
This.
He says, yes, of course, we're excited about the pyramid. And there are, there are ancient texts that refer to this area as the location of the lost pyramid of Akhenaten. And we are hopeful that that is exactly what this is. We cut to then Fitzy's interview with his daughter, Dr. Nora Holden, who says, the structure we're looking at is absolutely not the lost pyramid of Akhenaten. And so she's trying to like basically prove her tension with her father is he's old school. So he's really, he believes in a strict timeline. She believes because of the depth at which this was buried and the fact it's a three-sided pyramid that it was built generations before Akhenaten. Like this actually like completely changes the timeline of when they thought the pyramids were getting built. And she's really excited about it. Her father obviously is like, we got to prove things. We can't rush into things. We're going to humiliate ourselves. You know what I mean?
Right.
They are also using satellites to map the dig site. Her father is, I sort of, I think like we're nodding at like a Indiana Jones, sort of an old school, like we got to get in there. But we're, using satellites to map the dig site. We see the pyramid is 300 or 600 feet on each side, which is, so it's massive. And you know, Sunny says, well, you know, what other archaeologists don't love the satellites. She's like, well, you know, listen, people are going to push back on your methodology when you completely rewrite the timeline of the pyramids, okay? Mm-hmm. But I respect the work that came before. We just have to then know when to move it forward. And to me, this makes the most sense. And we go to the tech tent. We all the all these monitors, and the Holdens show off their satellites. And they are also fighting the entire time. So, like, of they're course. Squabbling with one another. And Nora's saying, like, this was my use of the satellites was inspired by SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. They were using satellites, and her dad goes, I thought we were talking about Egypt, not aliens. And so they're sort of at each other's throats about like, the best way to be an archaeologist, basically. Mm-hmm. And we also find out that there is an entrance near the apex. So there's actually like an entrance that must have been dug later, right? So they have the, right. your normal because okay. yes. it'd be the top because of the nature of how like sand right. would accumulate. So they don't know why it's there. And also, I think part of the reason it's there is it's simply convenient for filming because you don't have to build a whole pyramid. Yeah. Sunny said, well, you know, have you ever seen one of those like ancient aliens? You know, people think the pyramids are an intergalactic transmitter. And then Dr. Holden and Nora arguing about it with each other. They don't really believe in the alien stuff. But at the end of the day, Dr. Holden hates all the technology. But the satellites were sort of the reason that they got funding and the reason the network is covering them. It's like, this is like a cool hook so people will be interested in archaeology. And Dr. Holden sort of storms out. And Nora's like, sorry, my dad's a crank, you know. That night, we see robotics engineer Michael Zahir, who is Egyptian. And he basically has a remote-controlled rover. It's on loan from NASA. So it's like $3 billion they have to sort of like use it as a remote-controlled drone to like go into the pyramid. And of course, he then uses it to roll under the flap of Nora's tent and spy on her as she undresses and talks to her mother on the phone saying, we're fine. We're very far outside Cairo. And we're safer here than in a war bunker. That will prove not to be the case, obviously.
Yeah, probably not.
And we see the camera, like, zoom in on her breasts. And then Nora starts shouting, Zahir, get your metallic thing out of here. We see the rover zoom over to a fire where Fitzy is playing acoustic guitar for some of the workers, which that's nice of them. I'd be like, I don't want to have to hear this. I don't want to hear this anywhere.
No, never.
Zahir shows everyone the rover, and which is named Shorty. And it kind of has a very cute little alien ET head and neck. And he says, we're going to basically send it in first because, you know, we don't know what's in there. We don't know the structural integrity. There could be noxious gases. Like, you know, we just send it in and get a lay of the land right up top. And Fitzy looks and says, I bet it's a real babe magnet. Shut up. Shut up. I am just not in the mood.
No.
A babe magnet. Nora comes over and introduces Zahir to everyone. And they're sort of joking. And he's like, well, you know, everything records is permanent. Referring, of course, to her breasts. Allison, it turns out Nora and Zahir do have a flirtation going. And so we see Fitzy's recording them, and they're kind of like canoodling by the fire. And Sunny tells them to knock it off. He says, we're not shooting the days of our lives here. Fitzy says, ah, but I think people would actually watch this if we got to film two nerds getting freaky. It's like, anyways. In the morning, a workman runs over to the Holdens. They have found the basically the opening for the entrance that they had seen on the satellite. So they're going to pull it open and actually reveal the sort of makeshift entrance. And Zaheer runs over because, of course, none of the Americans could speak Arabic whatsoever. So that's good. And
certainly not a skill you would need if you were focusing on the archaeology of that part of the world where that's spoken.
Well, Dr. Holden like has a couple words, but it's like, man, this is your life and you're in your 50s. You gotta be. I gotta imagine that's like freshman year doing archaeology or learning Arabic. I mean, depending on what your focus is, it's just one of the Arabic, Chinese, I don't know, Spanish. They watch as a workman pulls a rock free and a thick green smoke comes billowing out, engulfing everyone and coating the camera lens.
You don't want to see that.
No, and we see the image start to sort of stutter, and we get this like sort of almost supernatural whine as we see the workman grimace and he collapses, foaming at the mouth, and his eyes turn milky and bloodshot, and foam pours out of his mouth. Later, we see Fitzy cleaning off the lens, and we're in the Holden sort of like their main research tent. And we find out the workman is alive. He's in love. The workman's in love.
The workman's in love. It's a rom-com.
And thank God, because he's alive and it's something to live for. Apparently, he was a victim of Aspergillus, which is a toxic air that you can find in pyramids and other sealed like caves. It's due to a fungus. And obviously, it's like been sealed for a millennial. And Nora says, it's more common than you think. Then why didn't you tell that guy about it?
Yeah.
You made that guy move the rock. You didn't say, by the way, put on a fucking gas mask or just like anything over your mouth or eyes. Why would you do that? That's racist.
Yeah.
Nora's really excited because she's like, okay, the evidence is there means it's been totally sealed. So this could be, I mean, like, we really might be the first people in, you know, centuries and centuries to open it. And it could be even older than I thought. Of course, Dr. Holden, that sets him off. He's like, can you please not spiral out with your wild theories? And I'm thinking, I need a mummy. Bring me a mummy. Show me the mummy.
Give me some kind of
something.
Ancient demon, something.
I like the fungus gas. I thought that was fun. Well, we got to keep moving.
Let's go.
And Holden says, no one goes into the pyramid without my permission. And Nora says, without our permission. Allison, just then a workman runs in with news. The Holdens rush to the tech center. Because of the impending civil war, basically, the Ministry of Antiquities is shutting down all the dig sites. Because basically they're like,
I do like the phrase, the Ministry of Antiquities. Yeah. That's great.
And it makes sense. It's Egypt, I'm sure.
It just sounds nice. It has all the right, like, kind of.
Yeah. And they say, it's just there are mass protests. You got to get out of there. They're afraid a civil war is going to break out, and then you'll be trapped there, and then they'll have to deal with you. It's going to be some sort of, like, you know what I mean, like international incident. Just pack up. You have 24 hours, you have to leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
Of course, the Holdens are outraged. It's like, all right, grow up. Like, you knew this was going on. Why would you act so shocked? And the Holdens are like, but we're not in Cairo. Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. But anywho, they have to be out by tomorrow, Monday. So you know they're going to go in that pyramid today, okay?
Yeah, they got to get in there.
And Dr. Holden gives the instructions to all the workmen. And there's like a couple dozen guys there. And the workman goes, wait, so what's going on? And Dr. Holden says, it's all written down. This isn't a conference. I was like, okay, well, you're going to die in the pyramid.
Then, get out of here.
So you can't. This guy said, wait a minute, we're all fired right as like civil unrest is about to break up. So now we're unemployed before the civil war. You can at least have the decency to tell the man what's going on. God, I want a mummy to kill these people.
Yes. Murder them.
It would be inconvenient. You have to spend 2 sentences explaining we're getting shut down. Nora then yells at her dad, saying he should have pushed back on the Ministry of Antiquities. Again, very Indiana Jones, like, you barely put up a fight. This is the fight of the century, and you're going to give up now? We owe this to our name.
No.
Now, in addition to, again, the political situation, Dr. Holden points out the structure seems to be filled with a toxic air that almost killed a man.
Yeah.
And Nora says, that's fine. We can use Shorty just to check it out. Shorty could also take samples of the air to see, like, if it's, you know, something that we could be exposed to. We'll send it in. We'll send it in for 2 hours. Just tell me you don't want to see what's inside. Of course, Dr. Holden, he's...
Yes, you got to see inside the pyramid.
You got to see it. Unfortunately, as they gear up to go into the pyramid with Shorty, Corporal Shadid shows up, or Captain Egypt, as Zaheer calls him, and he is, of course, enraged. It would have been nice to have him have one other emotion besides yelling.
Sure.
But he yells at Zaheer, who translates for the Holdens and the crew, sort of like, he's wondering why we're not packed up. He's going to supervise. We're going to make sure he's going to be here to make sure we get on the plane tomorrow. And Dr. Holden says, yep, absolutely. Tell him we're wrapping things up right now. And, you know, Corporal Shadid storms away, and the Holdens roll out to the entrance of the pyramid, right? So the work crew is gone, so it is just the Holdens and the documented crew and Zaheer, right? Zaheer sends in Shorty. Okay. Everything seems to be going well. It has a little flashlight. It's obviously very dark. And it takes an air sample. He's like, okay, this seems like it wouldn't be a problem. Obviously, we'd wear gas masks and, you know, make sure our eyes and mouths are covered. But we should be fine to go in if we get to that point. Right. Dr. Holden says, we're not going in. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want, because, like, hypothetically, we'll be able to come back at some point. And, like, I don't want us to die today. So we're not going to do that. Of course, Nora's going to push and push that, you know, this is how we make our mark in the field of archaeology. Yeah. And we see Shorty roll up
strong to a young woman wanting to prove herself in a male-dominated industry.
Absolutely. We've all been there, ladies. We see a mural with hieroglyphics on it. And Dr. Holden's reading it, says, oh, okay, let's see. That says slaughter. Okay, God. Underworld. And that's on you after that, then.
Yeah, if you read those words and you're like, let's keep going.
That's on you, bitch.
I don't feel bad for anything that happens to you.
Yeah. Fitzy is sort of our supernatural, like, you know, he's sort of the everyman. He goes, what? Seer says, yeah, it's just a message. It's very common in pyramids. It's to scare away grave robbers. So sort of a threat. Don't come in here. Suddenly, Holden gasps, and because he sees a curved staff, the symbol of Osiris, god of the underworld, considered by the Egyptians to be the first pharaoh. Again, we love it. Okay. Great get. Then we see a creature with what looks to be an obvious tail run past Shorty, and it does look like a feline-type body. They all gasp.
Okay. Riz, listening?
And Zaheer says, it's probably just an animal got in there. You know, those dogs are running around. They left the gate open, you know, when they left, when we didn't tell them what was going on. So probably just an animal got in there. Don't worry. You know, don't freak out. However, they then hear what sounds like a shriek, and something attacks Shorty, and the feed cuts out. Zaheer panics, and he's like, oh my God, NASA's going to kill me. I'm sure they knew this could happen. I don't think that they're going to be shocked if something happens to Rover in this kind of situation. Holden said, we're not going to go in there. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, it will ruin my relationship with them. This is the $3 billion Rover. We have to go in. He says, okay, you and I will go in. Of course, Nora is going to demand that she goes well. And the documentary crew says, you sign a contract saying if you go in, we go in. So we're going in. And if you want to fight Miana, we're just going to come in. So looks like everyone's going to die in the pyramid, Allison.
Bye-bye.
We have a couple other, again, it's found footage. Nora puts on like a camera that's also like an earpiece. So we're sort of seeing her POV. And Fitzy, of course, has his camera. And we have like multiple POVs, which I do love found footage.
I do like that.
And Holden brings some flares. He's like, okay, well, the stray dogs got inside. We can scare them off the flares. Of course, just as they go in, Corporal Shadid comes over to yell again. So here calms him down. And Dr. Holden's like translating, but he can't really do it. He's like, he's making a plea from one Egyptian to another. I think it's working. Girl, we could tell that. That's not translating. We can see with their gestures. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. What are they?
Zaheer says, he said we get 2 hours to go in there and get Shorty. We had better come immediately back out. And if not, he is coming in and we will be in serious trouble, potentially legal trouble. And they say, okay, great. 2 hours, we're going to get it. And while we're in there, we might take some photos and look around, you know. Apparently they have something like, it's like a metal lead. So they sort of use a carabiner to clip it to Dr. Holden and clip it to a stake in the ground. So sort of like if they
Neil
get
Prescott
lost.
Neil Prescott just got paid 10 cents for us saying that.
Shout out to Neil Prescott, who probably wandering on a pyramid as we speak. Who knows what that guy gets up to.
Entrepreneur.
It was nice to see a carabiner. It was genuinely.
It always is.
So they can find their way back. They all get gas masks for the toxic air, and they all head in. Dr. Holden also says to everyone, hey, just be careful. Just to note, the structure can collapse at any moment. We have no idea what the structural integrity is like. Absolutely not, Allison.
Great. You won't see me in there.
However, they can't find Shorty the Robot. And Zahir reasons the dogs couldn't have dragged him too far. Like, it's pretty heavy and bulky, even if, like, multiple dogs got him.
Right. It's still, like, a machine.
But I was like, even if there's nothing, no mummies down here, being attacked by feral dogs inside a subterranean tunnel full of toxic air is, to me, scarier than a mummy, because that could happen.
Absolutely.
So it's like, if those dogs...
Because we know that that's a possibility.
Right. Because, like, if those dogs attacked a robot, it's probably because they're starving. And it's like, you want to go in
there.
Really, you? I mean, who could blame him? Unfortunately, Zahir does find the ripped off sort of ET camera head of Shorty. So not the actual rover, but the camera. And he's like, oh my God, I'm dead. NASA's going to crucify me.
That's probably the least of your worries.
Yeah. Fitzy promises, we're going to find the rest. We're going to help you. And they find the apex, which is the very top of the pyramid. And there's like a circular entrance up into the topmost room, which is typically a tomb with a sarcophagus and like other like armaments and like sort of the things you leave with the pharaoh. And they go up there and there's a bunch of spears and stuff, but there's no sarcophagus. But they do find a broken sphere. They do find a broken spear, which they're very excited about because all the spears in all the other pyramids are decorative. They're, you know, for you in the afterlife. They're not like you know, for you to fight as a zombie in the pyramid.
Yes, of course.
But this one is broken. And when they spray sort of a substance on it, use a black light, it really has blood stains on it. So this spear was used in battle. Great. And is now in this. Isn't that intriguing? Isn't that interesting and strange?
Oh, wow.
Allison, just then, Nora sees that her dad's retrieval line has snapped. And he's like, I must have jerked it or stepped on it or something. Yeah. Zahir says, no, that's very strange. First, Shorty, and then why would that have broken? We've just been walking in a straight line, basically. He's like, don't worry, we're right at the entrance. We'll go back all together. I will put another stake down and we will sort of regroup. Allison, when they drop out of the apex, I don't think you know what I think you could assume what I'm going to say. They don't know which way they came.
Yeah.
And they, of course, look at the hieroglyphics. They were same hieroglyphics are repeating over and over again. So they can't even use those as a map back to the front door. And Fitzy's starting to panic. He's like, is anyone else having a harder time to breathe in these masks? Ever the bullshitter, Nora says, it's this way. I know it's this way. They follow her. They wander on, less and less sure. And Nora says, again, the dumbest thing you could say in a horror movie, it's impossible. I was positive it's the right direction. It's not impossible.
It's not. It's very possible.
They decide, okay, we're just going to double back. Clearly, we went too far in the other direction. They double back. Zahir looks into a chamber off the hallway and finds Shorty completely mangled. It looks like it fell off of the Empire State Building. It doesn't look like something that a dog could do, is what I'm saying, you know?
Okay.
Allison, he rushes in and we hear a sort of a creature sound. But then we look up just as the ceiling starts to crack and we realize the crack is starting the ceiling but goes all the way across the floor. And Holden says, everyone freeze. The floor is about to collapse. Allison, I gotta ask you, what would you do?
What would you do?
I am letting whatever happen happen. I will fall and die. I'm not getting out. I'll probably just take my mask off, breathe in the toxic air, and let myself go, because I don't think you get out of this. And I would like to die the most peaceful way that you can in this environment, which would be immediately and not with a mummy or a dog or whatever it is ripping me in half. I would like to go out in some other way, and I will just maybe jump off of deeper into the bowels of this pyramid, if there are some, and kill myself.
Yeah, to quote S. Samuel Jackson in A Time to Kill, I deserve to die, and I hope I burn in hell. If I'm in a situation like, well, I should fall through the floor. I absolutely should plummet through the floor, and I will plummet through the floor.
Yes.
Allison, that's exactly what happens. Unfortunately, Dr. Holden screams, run! But it's too late. They try to run for the door.
Where?
I guess out the door, but like the entire floor of this room collapses. Yes. And it is scary. It's a genuinely scary moment to just see all of them disappear into smoke, screaming.
Yes.
Fortunately, they're all alive. And the funniest thing is when they get into this room, they've collapsed into, they go, oh, it smells like shit. And they're all blaming the dogs must have gotten down there. But I was like, there's the room is no visible entrances or exits. That seems like it'd be a bigger talking point.
Yes.
Because how'd the poop get there, Allison?
How'd the poop get there?
Allison, how do you think the poop did get there?
I think someone lives down there.
Uh-huh. So like that whose poop kind of smells like pooping. A dog? Yeah. Fitzy says, I haven't smelled anything this bad since Zaheer's tent when he had beans the other day. And Zaheer turns and with like genuine anger and betrayal and says, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Which is very funny delivery. Allison, unfortunately, a huge chunk of the ceiling, which of course is the floor, falls at that moment and pins Zaheer's leg to the floor, snapping it like a twig. And so now he's screaming and the gang runs over, but it's a massive rock. They cannot move it. And so he's stuck. So they are stuck in a room, one of them badly injured, pinned under a rock. The room does not appear to have any entrances or exits. They, of course, do not have cell service. Somebody checks. It's like, you are inside of a pyramid, my friend. I have bad news. Nora, of course, is panicking because she's in love with Zaheer. She's like, just hold on. We'll get you out of this. He's like going into shock, probably. Sunny finds a circular shaft in the ceiling that's still like, so like runs along the remaining part of the ceiling that exists. So sort of like into the wall of the pyramid, basically. And she's like, I'm going to try to climb up there and see if I can get up to the next level. It's like, you can't be doing that. She's like,
yeah, what?
She says, I've done rock climbing my entire life. I was like, your entire life? Okay, when you were a baby? God, a baby. People. But I mean, also, what are you going to do? You got to climb out somewhere. So,
I mean, you got to try, I guess.
Yeah. But not me. When, it couldn't be me. I'd be just dead.
Could it be me? I'd be dead already somehow.
Yeah. They gave her a headlamp and they gave her Nora's ear camera. And I was like, we better see something spooky up in that shaft. Okay.
It's time.
We get Suni. She gets, this is a great shot. She's labored breathing. And they're trying to ask her, how does she go? She's like, how about you shut up? Because I'm climbing. However, the farther she goes, she keeps hearing this sort of animal sound. She's like, I think something's up here. And she gets to a low tunnel that's perpendicular to the shaft. Allison, it's basically an air duct.
Yeah.
She turns and looks, and it looks like the back of a huge hairless cat. Like a hairless cat the size of a, I'm going to say a Cocker Spaniel. And it's eating something, and its back is turned, and it turns and it lunges at her, scratching her face, and then skitters up the tunnel. Unfortunately, this
skittering.
Sunny lets go of the rope. She drops. She survives. She's okay, except for her face is scratched up. Uh-huh. She's like, I don't know what that was, but I think it was the same thing we saw on the camera that got shorty. I don't know what it was, a dog or a cat. It was huge. And they're like, okay, well, we're not even going to get into that because we have to figure out what the fuck to do.
Yeah, one thing at a time.
They realize that there's sort of all these different hieroglyphic plates all along the different walls. And on one wall, it's three statues. And Holden's reading the hieroglyphics. And they keep saying, oh, it's a gate, which I am assuming means it's sort of like a stone plate of hieroglyphics in front of a doorway. Because that's what it ends up being, right? And so he's reading and he's like, this is a warning, but I'm not sure for what. I think we should stay here and then Colonel Shahid will come and find us. Bitch, even if he comes back for you, things do not seem like he's be able to find you. Like this is clearly a maze of some sort, or it's designed to be confusing. And also the floor collapse. So like, what if the floor collapses on him? It just doesn't seem like stay here. Yes, in many other situations, good. In this situation, I don't think helpful.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Personally. So they sort of have an argument. Nora says we have to get out of here. Zaheer might not have too much time. Fitzy votes, let's move, you know. And he's like, if there's a dog or whatever, if it gets into this room, it's going to attack us. So it already scratched Suni. We have to go. Sorry, it's Sunny. Luckily, they brought some digging equipment. So they got hatchets. They also brought along that that spear that they found in the apex. So we know they have a weapon at least. Okay. So they leave Zaheer with a flashlight and a hatchet. And they say, we're going to come back for you. We promise. The group walks to the hallway, Allison. Allison, they're walking down. So they're walking further down into the pyramid.
Yeah, see, like, that's the thing. Like, I'm like, we're never getting out.
They hear a voice sort of shouting, and they think, oh, my God, it must be Corporal Shahid. They all scream for him, but then we hear a horrible shriek, and Nora says, that's not Shahid. That's Zaheer screaming. Unfortunately, the Nortons run back, and they tell Sunny and Fitzy to keep going. And Sunny goes, what? Because they do hear something in the distance.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, documentary crew, how about you keep going in the dark towards what could be a human voice or not while we go back to find out why our coworker is screaming.
Why our friend is screaming.
Yeah. Fortunately, Allison, they get back to the room, and Nora and Dr. Holden find that Zaheer is gone. Because his body has been wrenched free and torn off his leg. His leg is still pinned under the rock. And there's a huge trail of blood up into the shaft where we saw the creature. Noor, of course, has a breakdown when she sees this. And Dr. Mold is trying to comfort her. He says, you know, I'm really sorry. I know you cared for him, but we got to go. Either way, you know, Fitzy and Sunny are making their way down into the pyramid. Dr. Holden and Noor find them. And for some reason, Dr. Holden decides to lie, which I think was like a horrible idea. And he goes, Zaheer was trying to move the rock and he got crushed by it, so he died. But he doesn't say, oh, something strong enough to tear a man away from his leg and
tore him apart.
Powerful enough to lift him off the ground and into a tunnel, in a shaft. Sunny, of course, says, you're lying. He was killed by the creature. And it's like, yeah, why lie to them at this point? Like, she's already seen it. Like,
right.
Nobody's, you can't disabuse someone of this.
Yeah. More information is good here.
Yeah.
Like, just be honest. Like,
it can only be helpful.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
Sunny starts yelling at the Holdens, like, you brought us in here. And he goes, how about you take some responsibility for your role in coming in here? It's like, all right, I guess. And then Sunny screams,
I'm sorry. But Robot Guy has just been devoured by a creature we cannot identify, for Christ's sake. Calm down.
Fortunately, you know, they kind of get calmed down. And Dr. Holden says, we'll walk on. And he sort of forces Fitzy to walk ahead of them. But again, he has the camera, so it makes the most sense. Guess what else did we find? That's right, another shaft they have to crawl into. So they're belly crawling in a filthy airless air duct, basically, like through the middle of the pyramid. And Fitzy says, what happens if I run face first into that thing that clawed up Sunny? Well, that
good
won't
question.
Be his problem. Instead, they hear animals screaming behind them. Noor is the last one, and she freaks out. And she turns, and she sees multiple sets of glowing eyes in the darkness.
Oh, no. No.
So she shoves them. They're all scurrying to get to the end of the shaft, which opens into a hallway. Fortunately, at the end of the shaft, a figure appears. It is Corporal Shahid. He has found them. And he is hauling them out, thank God. And they turn, and we see these cat-like creatures crawling after them. And he fires into the shaft with his gun. And they look sort of like bobcat-sized hairless cats. They're actually kind of cute, but they're skeletal. I mean,
yeah.
They run out.
They're hungry.
They run out, and they're seemingly unharmed. So they run past them, and Corporal Shadid's like, what the hell's going on? He stands there, and we see a humanoid set of monstrous arms reach out from the shaft, like 12-foot-tall arms with huge claws, and drag, like, slam him against the shaft. And he does that classic where he folds in half, and he's dragged in all crumpled up. Yeah. R.I.P. feature wrap to Colonel Shahid. The team shuts off their lights and tries to hide and strategize what to do. I don't know what you do, Allison.
Let it kill you.
I don't know what the other options are. Eventually, it sounds like whatever this monster is not coming for them. So they turn the lights on. And Fitzy looks at Sunny. He's like, wow, your scratch looks like it's getting infected.
Of course it is.
And your eyes don't look
even
so
good either.
Even if
there was nothing else, like, you know, ancient demon shit. Like, if there was nothing in that world and it was just, like, straight up, like, we're playing this 100%. Real, it would be infected already.
They should all have goggles on. Like, their eye, every mucous membrane should be thoroughly covered in that place. You don't know what the fuck is in there. And also, her eyes look, they're, like, bloodshot, but they're actually, like, bleeding in the white area. And he's like, these don't look so good. Dr. Holden finds another wall of hieroglyphics. This is from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. When a person dies, their soul passes into a room. They are brought before Osiris and judged with a panel of judges, much like American Idol. And the god Anubis weighs their heart on a giant scale against Maat, the goddess of truth, which I learned from, they used to do live, when I was a child, live action Sesame Street specials. Do you remember this? Where they would like go to museums and stuff, like Big Birds would go to the museum.
Yeah. That sounds right.
And, it's called Don't Eat the Pictures. Oh, I loved this. Don't Eat the Pictures, 1983. If you have kids, well, watch, see how it ages, I guess. But
yeah,
it's a one-hour Sesame Street special where
Sesame Street.
It was so good. And the people from Sesame Street, the whole gang, go to New York City's Metropolitan Museum of Art. And Big Bird gets lost finding Snuffy. And he ends up meeting a little Egyptian boy, who, of course, is there because they have the Egyptian collection. And then in order to pass on to the next life, they have to weigh his heart against a feather. Fortunately, spoiler alert, he gets to go to heaven. I don't think they would have had, like, sorry, you have to go to
well, that's
the underworld,
damnation for eternity. Have a good day, kids. Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember that as a kid, I'm like, that was sort of my first introduction to sort of ancient Egyptian mythology.
Yes.
But they're saying this, in this case, the soul is a scale is weighed against Maat, the goddess of truth. And if the heart balances perfectly, or it's lighter. You get passed in the afterlife and it's too heavy. Baby, you got to go to the underworld. And Nora said, you know, they thought their soul would go to live amongst the stars if they sort of passed the test. And Sonny's like, well, I thought the book of the dead was just like spells and incantations. He's like, no, it's like a guide. They thought it was a guide to immortality. Like if you follow these things, you'll get to live forever. And Fitzy says, wait a minute, you guys don't believe this rubbish, do you? And Dr. Holden says, well, they believed it. And Sonny says, none of this matters if we fucking die in here. She's who I would be in this movie. They walk on to yet another hallway. And Dr. Holden reaches out and touches sort of a hanging pillar that's suspended by a rope. The fact that the rope is intact is also a huge, like, it would have rotted, right? Like, even if it's airtight, come on.
Thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah. Of course, the rope snaps, the weight drops, and the door behind them closes. It's a trap. Allison, thousands of gallons of sand start pouring out of the mouths of the sconces on the wall, which are shaped like cat heads. And they slowly start running through the hallway to try to find the end of it. As I, honest to God, it's like there is, the limit does not exist. It is just an unbelievable amount of sand. They're being buried alive. This also did scare me, much like the floor collapsing. This did scare me.
Yes.
I will give it that.
And again, like that stuff, like what's scary about it is like, there could be a room where a floor collapses. You could drown in sand.
Absolutely.
It would kill you.
Now
like
we're
that
talking.
Stuff is scary.
Allison, Nora gets left behind. Again, she doesn't have the build for this kind of life. She does. She needs to put on like, she needs to put on like 40 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
She's running. She gets caught in the sand. It's like going up to her knees. She's screaming, Dad, I'm scared. That was sad. When she's like screaming for him. I hated that.
I hate that.
Allison soon gets to the end of the hallway and she stops short right before plummeting into a pit of spikes. So again, they're running out of this sand filling hallway, and the only route to escape is a room full of spikes. Allison, tell me, who will survive?
Who will survive?
I'm gonna guess no one.
Okay, great.
I'm gonna guess that no one survives. I don't quite know how this footage is found.
Well, I think, and I'm happy to explain that, much like in many found footage programs, I think we're just to think like they then later found the
one
cameras
day someone
or something.
Found it after the fact.
Right. Because it doesn't really add up.
Somebody else would have to like go down to where they are, which clearly is not a thing. Okay. Yeah. I think that no one's getting out of this thing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Fitzy like ejects out of the hallway because he's running full speed, slams into Sunny from behind, and she is thrown, hurled into the pit, Allison. And when he looks down, she is skewered through the thigh and basically the rib cage. So these are not like, oh, it's my arm and it's like maybe the meat of my thigh.
My foot hurts.
Right. It is, she is pinned like a butterfly being pinned down, right? Like this is not good. Meanwhile, luckily, Dr. Holden's able to drag Nora out of the sand. And fortunately, they both survive. They then arrive at the lip of this pit. However, when they're looking to try to figure out how to get down, because Sunny's still alive. She's still, like, conscious. And they're trying to do her best to rescue her. We see six of the skeletal cat creatures come out of a sort of a little, I guess, like, pet door in the wall, a little doggy door. And they start eating Sunny. While she is alive, of course.
Good for them.
I mean, you hate to see it, but they probably are really hungry.
Yeah, they need food. They've been trapped in this weird pyramid for God knows how long.
Luckily, Holden throws a flare in to scare the cat creatures, and they spelunk down into the pit. And again, it's just not looking good. The three of them lift her up, and so we sort of see the spikes, you know, sort of the suction of them being pulled out of her body. And then it just tears her apart, basically. And she's just bleeding everywhere, which is like, obviously, if you lift her off the spikes, she's just going to be gushing blood.
Right, yeah. It's like you're not supposed to remove things that impale you because it's just going to let the blood go.
Allison, so they don't know what else to do. So they sort of just like lower her back down. So we see the spikes go back into her body.
Oh, no.
She starts seizing, and we see her scratches, like, pustulating. Like, it looks really infected. Yeah. Finally, she loses consciousness, thank God. And Fitzy's starting to panic, and, like, we have to figure out. She's still alive. We can't just leave her here. But it's too late. And I'm like, I guess isn't that how documentary filmmakers want to go out? Some cool way, right?
Yeah, some cool way. Not just, like,
peacefully in your bed.
Yeah, right. That's not worthy of an exciting doc premiere at Sundance. So.
Yeah, choking on an Impossible Burger. Meanwhile, Nora sees the same infection on her dad's neck. He's got it too. He must have gotten scratched at some point. She's like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, what difference does it make? Like,
yeah, it's true.
And also, if we're all infected, like if we are getting infections from just being down here, the toxic air or the fungus or these cats or God knows what, it kind of doesn't matter until we get the fuck out of here. So yeah. I wasn't going to worry you. There's nothing. We don't know what it is and there's nothing we could do.
I understand that.
Allison, don't worry. They find another shaft. They can crawl through it.
Thank God, more shaft.
They get to another, and you love shaft. This movie should be called Shaft, but then I guess the SEO would be a little confusing.
Yeah, that would be tough.
They get to another hallway. We see more hieroglyphics, and Nora tells Fitzy, you know, the Egyptians believe that cats were the guardians of the underworld, like their cat god Bastet, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
And Fitzy says, the question is, well, how would the cat still be alive? That's insane. Why, what are we talking about here?
Biggest question that you could have.
Dr. Holden says, well, maybe they ate each other, each generation feeding on the next until they mutated into whatever they are now. Shut up.
No.
They need water. The cats can't live down there. No, it's not possible.
Yeah, they're under a desert. There's no water.
Yeah, also, have you met cats? They're not doing all that.
No.
They reach the end of the tunnel. They walk into the next room. Allison, they have looped back around. It is that first chamber where Zaheer was killed. And they can tell because there's blood everywhere.
Okay.
And Dr. Holden says, oh, no, it's a labyrinth. He realizes this is intentional. He says, I believe that this structure was built to trap something in it. I believe this was intentionally designed that once you're in it, it's impossible to leave. But they're like, okay, so it wasn't, way to escape is not the way we just came in, nor was the way that we exited the first time. So we have two walls. It's sort of cube-like. You know, it's like two walls are out, so what about the other two walls? We see that Shorty is sort of beeping and blinking, and Fitzy sees and says, you know, if this is still on, it might be broadcasting. I could at least program it to my camera. We could record a message and, like, just say what's going on. And then I'll try to broadcast it to one of our outside monitors. There's no one around, and Corporal Shahid is dead, but maybe someone will come and see it eventually, like when they realize that we're gone. Like, at least we'll have left something, right?
Something, yes.
Of course, now we see Dr. Holden's neck is all pussy and leaky and his eyes are turning red. It's like, okay, well, we might as well. He, of course, records a message saying you're trapped in a pyramid. He says again his analysis.
This pyramid, unlike any other structure I've ever encountered, seems to have been built with the express purpose of keeping whatever is inside from escaping. If you come down here, bring guns.
They sort of feel around the wall. They find airflow. So, like, okay, there's clearly an entrance somewhere behind here. And that's the wall that has three huge statues on it. And we see Holden pull one of the statues, and the whole wall turns. Fun. And Nora finally is like, she's being really impressed by her dad's, like, acumen. And she's like, well, how did you know to do that? He says, I didn't spend my entire life behind a desk, you know. So sort of they have a bonding moment.
Okay.
We then walk through and we find carvings of skulls, which are not very Egyptian, right? Like they look more what I associate with like Incan or Aztec, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're evoking like this is older than what we knew about Egypt. So these are in fact like the religious elements of
a society before what we associate with like ancient Egypt.
Yeah. So sort of like, my God, we were right. This is something like incredible. We are discovering this. Of course we are trapped here forever and we perhaps won't survive. And I also feel like the skull motif is like such a part of like every religion, even as like a Catholic, we got a lot of body, we got a lot of blood, you know, like relics, you know. So I think we're just sort of evoking like, you know, like the base of the religion, you know. And they find these carvings. They walk under the tunnel. They've got to the base, essentially so far down of the pyramid that it's just a natural rock cave. So we're actually under the pyramid. So these are just what is under the earth there. They, of course, find some dried out cat corpses, unfortunately. And Fitzy's like, okay, so just to retract for a minute. When you say this is designed to keep someone from escaping, you mean this was a prison? Like they put people to punish? And of course, Dr. Willis says, well, probably not exactly. Obviously there's temples and tombs of all sorts. And most of them are to celebrate gods who are benevolent and giving. However, there's many cultures, for example, the Aztecs, where there are gods that are evil, that are corrupt, that are vengeful. And mm-hmm. in their mythology, they have to imprison them and then, feed them a diet of human sacrifice or do other things, sacrifices, harvests to appease them. And I think that's what we're dealing with. I think whatever they built this for is not something that is benign and giving. I think it was a malevolent god that they sort of like wanted to trap down here. Meanwhile, Fritzy also is developing the infection on his skin.
Excellent.
Because all of our collie have cuts and scrapes by now. And so probably just like
running around and bumping into shit jumping and digging.
Exactly. Allison, finally, they walk into a room and Holden says, we've found the bottom of the pyramid. Finally, it's a room with a sarcophagus.
Thank God. I mean.
And then he says, all right, now we just need to find the right escape shaft. Excuse me? Now? Right?
Now?
Escape shaft? I'll allow it. Then they find a body, a more modern looking one next to the sarcophagus. And it's mummified, but it looks like someone just got trapped on there. But he looks practically modern. Mm-hmm. And Nora looks and she finds the Freemason symbol. And he goes, you know, the Freemasons were kind of known for, like in the 1800s, they would raid the tombs and steal things and sell them. And he's like, you know, the Freemasons were amazing tomb robbers. If this guy couldn't find a way out, they end up finding the Freemason's journal. It's, of course, covered in blood, which I thought was fun. The last entry is May 21st, 1897. And it's his last entry, and he basically says,
the path we took upon our entry into the pyramid has been blocked. We may have located a means of escape in the burial chamber.
Can't wait to open it. LOL, love being a Freemason. Can't wait to get out of here. And it's the last entry. Understandably, this guy didn't get out of there.
I bet.
Holden says, we got to keep moving. We don't want to end up like this guy. Suddenly, Dr. Holden, his face looks shocked, and a clawed fist punches through Holden's chest from behind, holding his still beating heart. Allison, the monster, has found them.
Thank God.
Thank God. Fritzy grabs Nora, who is, of course, screaming and crying as her father just has heart torn out in front of her. And they run back up the tunnel only to find the revolving door that they came through has closed, trapping them inside. They're fucked. Fitzy says, I know that I've been the comedic relief, but I'm going to step up. I'd rather face this thing than spend the rest of my life running. And she's like, what are you talking about? She's like, at least I record what's about to kill me. At least I get the fucking footage. She's like, my father just died. You care about, all you care about is the shot?
And he's like, everyone's dead.
And he says, no, it's not the shot. I just don't know what else to do. Which I thought was the most honest answer. He's like, well, bitch, you tell me what to do. I don't know.
Right. Do you have a better idea?
But he's like, no, I'm going to go record whatever the fuck that is. So he walks back down, leaving Nora near the door crying. So we see Fitzy, he turns off his flashlight and turns on his night vision, which is a fun effect. And also, we finally see the monster. It is a 12-foot tall, dog-headed humanoid. Of course, we know that it's Anubis, obviously. We can tell the dog-headed god. He also sees that Dr. Holden is, well, maybe not alive, but alive for the moment because he is being judged. So Dr. Holden is sort of tied upright, and then Anubis is placing his heart on the scale.
Oh.
Allison, the scale dips all the way down. His heart is too heavy. And Anubis picks up and eats his heart while Dr. Holden's face melts off and he screams.
Okay.
And I will say, Anubis turns around, and in this moment, it does look like a giant chihuahua, and it did make me laugh. Because I thought, like, oh, it's going to be like a wolf or something. It's like, oh, they went with like a kind of a cute dog face.
Like a little dog.
Back in the tunnel, Nora hears the monster Anubis screaming, sees its shadow moving in the darkness, hears his claws raking the walls, and then Fitzy startles her, and he shows her the video of her father having his heart eaten. It's like, why would you show her that? She already thought he was dead.
She just saw it.
Also, based on what we saw, he's going to the underworld. He doesn't get to go to the stars.
Right.
And then she says, again, it's impossible. She says, that's Anubis, the devourer. Well, yeah, we put that together, bitch.
Yeah.
He's a half man. Oh, half man, half jackal. So that's even sillier than it looked like a chihuahua.
Yeah.
He's like, my God, he took my dad's heart. In the Last Judgment, is considered the final gate, the final door between damnation and judgment. So that means we have to go through that room. Like it's designed this way. There's no other way to escape. We could stay here and die, they could kill us, or we can go to that room and we could at least die trying. Yeah. They say, let's die trying. So they go back to the room at the bottom of the pyramid. Anubis isn't there. They're able to get Dr. Holden's gun and some of his stuff. And then she takes the broken spearhead. So we have that. And we see Nora sees the mural on the wall. And she's like, ah, this is a story of Osiris. He's like, I thought you just said Anubis. How many? I got to keep track of all this.
Yeah.
He's like, no, Osiris was Anubis's father or creator. It's the same word for what? It's the same symbol for the both words. In this new myth, a myth that no one's ever seen, Osiris had this tomb built for his journey to the stars. But Anubis was enraged. He had sacrificed thousands so he could join his father in the afterlife. His soul was corrupted by this act. So he was seeking a pure heart to use. He would cut out the hearts of the people to try to obtain his passage. Again, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think you're outsmarting anybody here, Anubis. Nice try.
Yeah.
You think that, and she says the Egyptians must have trapped it in here. That must have been literally true. Allison, there are six shafts in the ceiling, and there's a conversation that almost feels unnecessary entirely. But she's like, we got to figure out which shaft is the right shaft. She's trying to rationalize, okay, there are six shafts. There's a mural of the stars. And between each mural, there are these sort of like shining metallic, either like shells or like metal, pounded metal. There's sort of stars in the mural. And she tells Fitzy, look for the tetrahedron. He says, what? She said, the three-sided pyramid is a symbol of the Osiris star. If we find that, it will indicate, I believe, which shaft we should follow. Because to be among the stars, we must follow the brightest star.
Mm.
Allison, they found it. I, of course, would be having my heart ripped out and eaten by cats.
Yeah, I'm long dead at this point.
But they see the corresponding shaft, and they see the rope ladder. He's like, oh, my God, that's how the Freemasons get in. It's like, okay, great. But also it's like, okay, well, that thing's going to collapse. So they start to climb, and below them they hear Anubis roaring and start to chase them up the shaft. Fitzy fires his gun. Unfortunately, Anubis rips Fitzy off the ladder, and they both fall down the shaft to, at least Fitzy's demise.
Yeah.
Leaving Nora as our final girl, our sole survivor. She lights a flare, and when Anubis shoots back up the shaft, scrambling after her, she jams the flare in its face. It falls down the shaft again. She hurls a flare after and makes it to the top of the shaft, to the next floor up. Just in time for Anubis to grab her once again and haul her down the shaft. Allison, when Nora wakes, she's still alive, barely conscious.
Nightmare.
And we see that Anubis has crushed Fritzy's head, just steps on Fritzy's head, killing him.
Yeah.
If he wasn't dead before. We see that Nora is tied to the wall, just like her father had been before her. And Anubis is sort of sniffing her, waiting to take out her heart and judge her. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, he's kind of dillying and dallying. So she's able to use the broken spearhead to cut her ropes and stabs Anubis in the throat with it. She tries to run, only to be cornered by six of the Hellcats.
Of course.
Then for reasons I'm not entirely clear on even now, the cats leap on Anubis and attack him, much like the raptors turning on the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. If only they knew they were on the same side, Allison.
Yeah, right. It's like,
you guys
they just probably don't get a lot of visitors down there, and they got confused.
And I think it's like the cats are just kind of like regular cats, and then Anubis is trying to kill people and judge them and eat their hearts. So it's not even like they're really on the same page. The cats just are attacking him because he's a dog, maybe?
Yeah.
Nora climbs the shaft once more. She makes it to the room at the top. Allison, she keeps going. She climbs shaft after shaft, hallway after hallway, air duct after air duct. She sees a bright light. The opening to the pyramid collapses. And we see her eyes open, and a little Egyptian child runs in. And she says to him, help me. And he's adorable. He's like little, like five.
Yeah.
And she rolls over, and we see half of her face is blistered and scratched, infected. And her eye is turning milky. And as the child looks down at her, we see Anubis lunge out of the darkness. And the child turns. The end. Pyramid. So I guess it's going to kill her and that kid?
And be, what, above ground?
Yeah, they let him out.
Wasn't there enough going on in Egypt in 2013?
I mean, truly. And again,
they don't need that.
That is what we would do. That is absolutely what we would do. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, what are some fatal mistakes you think they made in the pyramid?
Fatal mistakes.
Going into it.
Yes. Yeah.
going and doing an archaeological dig during the Arab Spring.
Yeah. And then being offended or like shocked that somehow that would happen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Once they were in there, I mean, there's not a ton.
No.
I feel like everybody was doing the best they could, and clearly she was able to even like get out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, again, much like so many of our horror movies, when it's a scientist, an expert, it is, of course, hubris and overweening pride.
Of course. And especially American in African space, like, and Middle Eastern places where it's like, we know better. And it's like, no, we don't.
Absolutely not. But I do feel like once you see that toxic air, I would just assume that you're going to get killed that way. I mean, aside from the Anubis living in there, you are putting yourself and your coworkers and your daughter and or your father at risk from the jump, right? So this didn't seem worth it at all.
Yeah.
I guess it requires an understanding of life that is about like putting your name on something and finding something, which I have absolutely no connection with.
No.
I just would never be like, well, I've got to write a paper about this. Okay.
Yeah, I don't need to discover anything.
Also, bitch, you didn't make that. You just found it. It's not even your country. Like, okay. You saw something first. What? Like, who cares? That is a very remote idea for me, personally. And then I think also just sort of when Dr. Holden lies to Sonny and Fitzy about Zaheer, why he died. It's like, what are you doing at this stage in the game?
Yes,
you need everybody on the same page.
All the information.
And I thought that was really baffling. And again, perhaps spoke to a larger hubris that ended in their untimely demise.
Yes, yes.
And then what would you give the pyramid on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I would give this like a 3.5.
Okay.
I think that, like, the claustrophobia of it all, like, is tough for me. Like, the contained spaces and the darkness. And, like, I think, like, the falling on the spear or the spikes and the floor going out and the sand, like, that's all really scary. But the rest of it, again, a scenario I could never even imagine finding myself in because I wouldn't do this. And then just kind of the muddiness of the mythology that they were playing with, and just a large chihuahua as the final boss down there is not quite what they were building towards for me. So, but still some, you know, still an unpleasant experience. So a 3.5 for me. What about you?
You know, I wish that it had been scarier because I do think there were certain moments that I was terrified by. And it did evoke the As Above, So Below, the Catacombs movie. But that, to me, was much scarier. I feel like they did a good job with that. And I like a creature. If I'd been a mummy, I would have loved it. I do like a mythological beast, but it's not necessarily scary. So I'm going to give it a 2. And it's 1 point for the floor collapsing and then another point for everything else that happens in the movie. But I would say something, you know what? I was going to say something to watch on streaming, but there's so many other movies.
There's other stuff.
Yeah.
Now you know what happens. So there's no.
Watch it if you want.
Yeah.
Watch it if you want.
If this spoke to you, go forth.
And again, it wasn't a stinker in every regard. It was just a stinker in many regards.
Many regards.
There's plenty of horror movies that are non-stinkers in uncertain senses and can be fine. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you so much for listening.
Yes. Thank you.
We love you.
We love you.
And until next time, please.
Please keep it spooky.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Ruin Podcast.
Or join us at patreon.com/ruinpodcast for exclusive episodes and video content.
Ruin is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, Dan Powell, and Houston Snyder.
Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa and Olivia Posner.